Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports News.
Yeah, welcome in. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a reaction Monday after the Texans fall to the Detroit Lions in last-second fashion, 26-23 on Sunday Night Football. Let us know what you think. We got the YouTube and the Twitch both available to you, and, of course, the 5-Hour Energy fan line, courtesy of 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. 713-572-4610 is the number to get involved. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula, here with you to talk about this game. And this was ostensibly, like, this is a win against a loss, mm-hmm. 3-point loss against one of, if not the best teams in the NFL. If I just told you that, especially if I just told myself that last week when we were leading up to this game, I think we would have all felt one type of way. For some reason, does not feel like that's the way that we are feeling after this.
Yeah, no, look, if you'd have told me, hey, the Texans are going to lose, but it's going to be 26-23, I'd have said, well, all right. You know, that sounds like there was some progress made, right? There was briefly some progress made. I think where we need to start, though, with that in mind,
mm-hmm.
because if you'd have just told me the score, as I mentioned, I think everybody listening, everybody watching, everybody who hears our voices would have said, okay, that's a team that's starting to go in the right direction. They're not going in the right direction. That's where I am right now, because for all the things that the shortcomings that we've talked about this year, okay, the offensive line problems, just go down the list in your mind's eye, you know, just picture all the problems that we've talked about, all the falling just short of expectations that we've talked about. The Texans have never been embarrassed. The D'Amico Ryan's team, I should say, has never been embarrassed. They are embarrassed today. Texans fans are embarrassed today.
You know, you wouldn't say the Vikings game was.
Well, they
about to say hell last week.
No, but I'm talking about like the Vikings game. You got flat out run. You know,
it wasn't
a matter of the Jets was just like you were awful and the offensive line stunk. But I'm talking about like just in terms of winning a game 23-7 at the half and then losing that game when you got five interceptions. That's humiliating. It's one thing to get run off the field. I mean, that's going to happen. You don't hope it does, but it does. It's one thing to just have a performance that is just awful. And maybe there's some levels of embarrassment there. You got five interceptions.
Plus three.
Yeah.
Plus three in the turnover. Against a team, mind you, that came into this game as the single best turnover differential team in the league in the Detroit Lions.
You could not have started the game any better than you did. You got the best possible performance for the most part, especially in the first half, from your defense. You got contributions from role players stepping up.
John Mechie, man.
We'll get to John Mechie in passing thoughts.
Good gracious,
I have a comparison in my life regarding John Mechie that I think you'll agree with. Role players stepping up. C.J. Stroud could not have looked more like 2023 C.J. Stroud for the first half. And then you lose that game?
Yeah, and it's kind of incredible because I know that you were saying that, look, they have not progressed or did not feel like they progressed in this game. There's definitely some places where you go, there was progress there. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it's not all the way around.
Yeah.
And one of the big issues that popped up again was the second half stuttering that happens with these Texans, where in the last four games, they've scored all of, 15 points. None of those touchdowns in the second half. At one point during this game, I turned to Sean Pendergast, and I go, hey, what's the tally, right, on touchdowns? And he gives me that big old zero because this has been an issue. It's the same kind of issues that continue to pop up with this Texans team, and it does make you start questioning, right? Like, this is supposed to be kind of a stress test. This was supposed to be a little bit of a measuring stick contest against a very good team in the Lions. And in some ways, you showed up and showed that you have the capabilities that we all anticipated for the entirety of this season, right? Yeah. That you can go and you can play with them. You can be a turnover defense, right? You can do all of these things. But in other ways, you showed that some of the faults are still going to show up, right? Some of the things that we were talking about early on in the season with this Texas team, all just finding a way to win. You're doing that against some teams that, I don't know, don't feel that great about.
Yeah.
These are the instances where the Lions, I was watching Dan Campbell in the locker room after the win, and he was saying, hey, this is what good teams do. They find a way to win. And in the instances where against teams that you would have to play in the playoffs, against these caliber teams, the Texans have not found ways to win. In fact, on this occasion, they found a way to lose.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about the culture that D'Amico Brian's brought. He's embarrassed about it today. Like, he's got to be embarrassed because that wasn't a winning culture in the second half. You know who had a winning culture? The Detroit Lions. They were down 23-7. And Dan Campbell comes out during his interview, during the airing of his interview, when he says, well, we need some more turnovers. Boom, get a turnover. That was the and they use this word a lot when describing the Lions, you know, the grit that they had. That was like, you know, you talk about the Vikings game. You come back from the Vikings game and you say, all right, that's sounding the alarm. We have a lot of things to fix. And, okay, you know, that happens. Jets game. Boy, was this line bad. The worst it's ever been. We got to make some wholesale changes. And they did, you know, putting Juice Scruggs at left guard and Patterson at center. But you come out of this game when you had every right to win that game. There's no way you should have lost that game. No way you should have lost that game. And you spit the bit, especially in the second half. That's just an embarrassment. I mean, that's just an absolute embarrassment. It was ghosts of Texans past. You know, this felt like a game that the Texans, that we've seen this, a bad, you know, Texans team or a team that fell short of expectations would do. And that's where it just, it's almost drawing board time. I know they've made some things, they've corrected some things, and maybe the line's going to get better. There were a lot of pressures in the second half, man. You still got, you know, you still got sacked four times. You still had nine pressures on C.J. Stroud. He was still kind of seeing ghosts, you know, in the second half. This was just absolute humiliation.
Yeah, for lack of a better term, does this team have any semblance of a killer instinct? These are kind of like the nebulous things that I'm not great at handling at times, is the idea of like killer instinct, because how do you quantify that? How do you qualify that per se? But it's hard to kind of fight against somebody who's willing to put that up as an explanation for why the Texans have seemingly found themselves in this place time and time again over the course of this season. Is when the going gets tough in some of these instances, particularly as evidenced by the idea that in the second halves they're not putting up touchdowns, that they're barely putting up points in this stretch of games. Do you believe that they have any level of killer instinct or the ability to put teams away late in games?
I mean, you know,
the holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Early on, when we're talking about the Texans are, you know, this successful in one score games, it makes you feel like maybe not killer instinct, but certainly an ingredient to be able to win these games. That alone has changed right there. And you know, let's talk to the people here, you know, the fans and people watching and listening. I mean, I talked about this might be a tipping point game, and maybe it was. Like, do you feel like this team is different? Do you feel like this team is one of those teams that, you know, is going to be able to be a big time threat, you know, at the highest level? I don't know if anybody can say that.
No, I mean, like, especially not as currently constituted. And do you feel like as the refrain continues to be, like, we have to be better, that better is not just doable, but will happen for this team, right? Mm-hmm. There's still things. Nico Collins obviously does not play in this game. Joe Mixon, it's kind of shockingly, but also not shocking when you consider, like, the game plan that Detroit came out with and the capability of Detroit to finish, to, you know, mm-hmm. exact a game plan, right? Joe Mixon only with 46 yards on 25 attempts. He does come up with that touchdown, right, which is typically there, but that's well over half of what we typically anticipate when Joe Mixon is out there, regardless of what's happening in front of him, mm-hmm. right? Without kind of those two mainstays, you were still able to put up 23 points, and you had a lot of opportunities courtesy of the defense. And yet still, like, here you are, a loser on a Monday, in a situation where you absolutely should have gotten a win.
Yeah, and you mentioned D'Amico Ryans, and we're going to be hearing from D'Amico, but, you know, after the game, talking a lot of the same things, we have to look at everything. We've heard that for, what, 3 weeks now? Everything's on the table. We got to look at everything. I mean, you absolutely do. But I think the proper answer here is we are not what we thought we were.
Yeah. I mean, like,
yeah, they're not.
They are not, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. There's only so many times that you can have a test in front of you and not have the desirable, you know, effect, a desirable response on the back end of it and say that, well, no, I still got it, right? Like, eventually you have to show and prove, and here you are, right? From the 8-3-2, Reggie losing 8 yards on one carry did not help Mixon's stats at all. I mean, sure, but ultimately that's an accumulation, right? You take all of it together in all of this. So from the 8-3-2, Bobby Slowick can remain on the staff, but strip him of play calling and let him learn more before he giving him the reins again. I'm not sure that shifts what this team is doing. Like, this feels like a full accounting all the way across with this team. Like, mm-hmm. do you feel like this is what you're seeing, the lack of ability to get something done ultimately, is a failing of an individual on this team? It feels like this goes so much wider.
Well, we're going to talk about Bobby Slowick because he is definitely a standalone topic, and we'll be talking about that soon. But it's not just one thing. Defensively, it sure would have been nice to have Will Anderson, but the defense played pretty well for the majority of this game. You got those turnovers, you know, and all that. But you also had some plays in which, you know, there were some severe breakdowns. You know, how the hell you get Azeez Al-Shaair on the best receiver on the field in a crucial moment?
Well, that's you're in zone there. That's what happens there, right? You're in zone and he finds his
again,
space.
How the heck does that happen? Why is there not? I mean, they had been doing a pretty good job. I mean, he was a nowhere man in the first half. Amon-Ra St. Brown was nothing, and then he ends up with 6 catches, 60 something yards, and a touchdown or whatever it was. That's just inexplicable. So there's that. So that speaks to it's not just Bobby Slowick. We're going to talk about Bobby Slowick. That's a big problem, and we'll talk about it. But it's not just that. Kyemi Fairbairn with a missed field goal. He's one of the best kickers from beyond 50 yards. Sure, it happens. But you know, we knew that special teams was going to be big in this game.
But that's another instance where you see kind of a consistency from your Texans team of relying on field goals, or like
that too,
just getting to a place that where too. you're just decided that, or maybe it's not specifically decided that you're going to kick a field goal, but there's. It's almost resting on the idea that, well, Kaimi's there. We'll kick a field goal if we don't get there without the aggression to actually go and pick some of these things up. I know that one of the things that came up was that decision to kick the field goal there, right? Where 1:56, the opposition has two timeouts. Mm-hmm. It's 4th and 4. And it's like, do you go for it there? Do you not go for it there? I was looking at some of the models, which get a little wonky towards the end of the game, to be fair. But kicking the field goal was slightly above going for it in that situation. So, like, if you want to lean on the analytics of it all, did you feel like this team was capable of picking up those 4 yards? How did you feel about that decision to kick? Because I know it was a topic of conversation up in the box.
I think, you know, it was definitely worthy of going for it. I honestly, if I'm just being honest here, I didn't really feel too bad about it with Kyemi Fairbairn. And maybe that's the problem. That's what they do. You know, they fall back on that as well, and that's part of the issue. But beyond that, it's also just, you know, sort of the resting on the laurels of the first half and being, you know, so careful offensively. And the offensive line got better. The offensive line wasn't good, though, overall. I mean, Joe Mixon was just getting crushed. You can talk about 1 8-yard loss all you want. That wasn't it. He wasn't. He was consistently.
He was running into a wall.
He was consistently running into a wall.
And it
wall.
Was a different wall than other times, right? Other times, you run into a wall, he has a space to bounce out of. Like, I think that portion was a concerted effort by the Lions to be able to know the opponent, right? In this instance, it's your Texans. The idea that, hey, Joe Mixon creates a lot of yardage, but it's not just off of the, you know, the designed play of the run. Now he's going to bounce this out into fine space and then pick up a lot more yardage. They shut a lot of that down in the course of this. Just a tough game. I know many people texting in saying they're disappointed, they're embarrassed by this. If there's one word for you to describe how you felt about this 26-23 loss by the Texans, what is it?
I said at the start, that's an embarrassed. That's an embarrassing loss. I mean, good teams don't do that. Good teams don't blow a 23-7 lead. If the Lions were up 23-7 at the half, what's the final score? That's what's embarrassing. Yeah,
probably 37.
That's
probably
put what, see, a couple now you're more pressing on my buttons here, man. Now you're pressing.
I'm answering the question. What do you mean?
Like, well, like if the Lions were up 23-7, that's a 38-17 game.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
The Texans don't have it. They don't. They're not the team we thought they were going to be. Period. Paragraph. Yeah. Next topic.
I thought there was a red flag when they kicked that field goal at the end and Kyemi missed it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like it was 5 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of time left. Even if he did make that field goal, the Lions were hot.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop that offense. So I felt like they kind of played a little scared. And I don't really believe in kicking a 58-yard field goal with that much time left. And giving it to him midfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, this is the tough thing about that. Even if you make that field goal, it's a tough situation.
It's a lot of time.
A lot
like
of time.
A minute 30 left. Yeah. It was like minute 50, minute 30.
Minute 56. And again, right, like that Lions team at that point in the fourth quarter, they had made the decision. They knew, hey, we can big boy him. We can run this football. And they
could not stop him, man.
They were on the ball pretty effectively running
and,
at that
and see,
point.
That,
Gibbs
that,
and Montgomery, man.
And that's, Figgy, that's the big picture, the proverbial 30,000 foot view of this game and this team. That's it. We can parse out all the little things all we want. They're not it.
Well, not just that, right?
They're like not it.
The 30,000 foot view was that during the course of this game, it felt like the Texans start fast and slow down.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions picked up steam as this game went along, and ultimately that's what showed up in a 26-23 victory for the Detroit Lions. And so your Texans 6-4, which interestingly enough through 10 weeks is exactly the same record as you had last year. It just feels a little different. And it's indicative of just how much the framework, how much the framing, how much the expectations change the way a record feels. So well, there's so much to go through, and I don't even know. We were jumping all around in segment one. So let's kind of bear down and see if we can parse out more of this 26-23 loss for your Texans on a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday. Coming up next, we do as we always do around 10:20. We'll get the OG's passing thoughts. We'll do it next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.